As we continue our study of the early church as set forth in the book of Acts, we are now in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, and we are going to be watching and studying an incident which brings to our mind much of what was included in the experience of that early church. In the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we have been reading here how that Herod, the king, had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it had pleased the Jews, he had taken Peter prisoner and had put him in prison, and intending after Easter to bring him out before the people and to kill him. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God unto God for him. Now, so far, if I may say so, everything in this story moves according to the way it happens in this unhappy world of ours. People of God give forth their testimony. People who are opposed to the things of God are opposed to this testimony. And because it irritates them and annoys them and enrages them many times, they'll take violent measures to stop this kind of preaching and teaching. So far, it is human. It's ugly, it's mean, but it's human, and variations of it can be found right down to this present day and time. It can be found right in your own community, sometimes right in your own family, wherever you find that anyone will give testimony to personal help received from God. There are people present who just don't like to hear that kind of thing and would like to keep it quiet if at all possible. But now the story takes a different turn. And the turn that it takes now takes us into an extension of experience. It's almost like as if it were another room. Something else is opened up. And we find out that the experience of the early church had far more to it than just what would appear on the surface. So I'm going to read on now from in chapter 12. This is the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So far, everything's regular. That's the way you would keep a condemned man that was going to be brought out to be put to death. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Now, this is entirely different. This is something you have to just step two steps back, so to speak, and look. What are you going to say about it? What can you say about it? Here is the record. Let me read on. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." In other words, put on your shoes and dress. We're going to go. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Did you get that? Peter couldn't believe it. This happened to Peter. And Peter thought he was dreaming. Now look what happened to him. A light shined in the prison, and the angel spoke to him, "Get up," and his chains fell off from him. "Put on your shoes," and he did. "Put on your coat," and he did. "Follow me." And he went out and followed him, and didn't know it was real. Actually thought he was dreaming. Thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Read it slowly, just exactly like it is. Now, folks, let me put something in your mind. Any attempt to water this down and to change this, you might as well cut it out. You might as well take the whole story out. And if you take this story out, what other stories will you take out? How much of the Bible will you take out? But if you leave it in, then what? Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you leave it in, this world isn't what it looks like. That's one thing for sure. Take another look at it. This world is not limited just to the material things that you see. just to the wood and the stone and the iron. It isn't just limited to that. And to the human beings that you know, it isn't just limited to that. God is real. God is alive. God is able. And here is this, again, this reference, the angel of the Lord. There's no description. We don't know what that was. We don't know whether this looked like a man. We don't know whether the angel of the Lord ever appeared. We don't know whether this was someone walking in a cloak. We don't know. And when it says the angel of the Lord spoke unto him, we don't know whether he used Peter's language out loud, whether Peter heard it with his ears. We have no way of knowing because the Bible simply doesn't tell us. It gives us no description of this angel. It is, if you will understand it when I word it this way, it is a term that seems to refer to a function. And it could be said the messenger of the Lord. But don't you think for one moment I'm trying to make it any less. That's not the point. All I'm trying to make it is that you do not need to fill this in with anything grotesque. You don't need to imagine anything that had wings on it came here. That doesn't say that. This is no such a creature as you read in the book of Revelation as the cherubim. This is not such a person. Nor the seraphim that you read about in the Bible, that you read in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. That's not what we have here. We don't know. We're not told. That's not important. What is important is that a messenger from God came. Now, this messenger spoke to Peter, and spoke to Peter in a way that Peter understood, because when this messenger said to Peter, get up, he got up. When this messenger told him, put on your sandals, he put on his sandals. And when this messenger said, cast thy garment about thee and follow me, he did, and he followed him. So it must have been someone, like at least the form of a person, he followed him. And came along out through the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and then Peter knew. They went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. How? We don't know. Apparently just disappeared. And when Peter was come to himself, now what does that mean? He really, as it were, if you want to put it this way, you could say, he pinched himself to see that it was true. He was really outside the jail. That's just exactly what the situation was. When he came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety. That is, now I am real sure. And you know, that means up till now I couldn't have told you. I couldn't be real sure. Was I dreaming or wasn't I dreaming? Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of the Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And Peter knew that he was going to be spared from this death that Herod had planned. Now, do you notice this, that when Peter says that word now, apparently up until then he wasn't. Now, what does that mean? That means that when Peter was in prison, he didn't know he was going to escape. That meant that all that night while those people were praying for him, Peter didn't know he was going to get out of prison. And as I told you earlier, I'm not sure he expected to. I don't think he expected to. And I'm not sure the early church expected him to. But when he says here, now I know of a surety, you know what I have down in my notes? We should not try to be so cocksure about things. If you're really walking along with the Lord, you and I don't know everything. We can't see everything. We don't even know for cocksure how things are going to come out. We know in whom we believed, yes. We trust in God, yes. We don't always know which way God's going to do it. But as the things unfold, as we move on down the road, and one thing happens after another thing happens, then at a certain point along the road, in this case, when Peter had gotten out on the street and one whole block away from the jail, then he said to himself, I guess it's really true. I'm sure enough out of that jail. It's like that. You know, I love to think about that because it makes it so sensible. It makes it so I can get hold of that for myself. Because this doesn't mean that this is the kind of a story that you're supposed to believe as if it was a fairy story. This was an actual event, startling and shocking as it is. Well, from here on, Peter goes further. And when he had considered the thing, in verse 12, he thought about it. I venture to say Peter just stood there on the street and tried to figure it out. He was there. He was on the street, outside that jail. That's exactly what happened to him. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He went to the believers. He went to share with them. And now we come to this part that is always so interesting to us all. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Here came this girl to see who was knocking. And Peter called out. She recognized his voice, and she was so excited she forgot to open the door. She just turned around, ran into the house, and said Peter was out there. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." This is a nice, mild, old English way of saying, in our own everyday language, "You're crazy." That's all that means. You're just nuts. That's what this means. Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. She said, "But it's true, it's true. I heard him, I heard him." Then said they, "It is his angel." That was that way. In other words, like a ghost. They thought he was already dead, and he had come there in some way to bring this message to them. This is as far as we can go today, and we'll go on with this story in our next study. You read it. It's in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. You read this whole story, and as you read it, say to yourself, "This is our God." Don't let go of it. You're living in a world that's not inside a store goods box or something like that. You're living in a world that God has. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to believe in Thee, and help us to see through the things of this world, to know Thy presence, for Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.